always told off on me. And so I'm a little under the weather today, again. But just pray for me. We'll be all right. I'm called to preach, so that's what I'm going to do, as long as he gives me the strength to be able to do it. No pity party, just a job that needs to be done. Amen. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 14. For easier for you to read verse 14 through 21. We're going to skip a couple verses in there, though. Well, you have it, say amen. Second Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14.
Thank you very much.
We'll start with verse 14 and read through 21. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, that all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore," verse 16, "from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Today, I want to use as a thought the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. We have talked about the mission of the church. That's what we're talking about on Wednesdays, the mission of the church. And I still ask for, maybe I forgot, though. I may have forgot. What session are we on? I don't know. What section are we on? Three and a half? Oh, four. Yeah. I was just seeing if y'all remember what session we was on. We're on section four of our study on Wednesdays, okay? And so that's what we've been studying about, the mission of the church through the book of Acts, okay? Which is to make disciples, okay? One of the missions of the church, is to make disciples. But today we are going to talk about the message that we preach, okay? The message that we preach is the ministry of the church, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. The church should be preaching reconciliation. Why? Because we are a body of people who have come out from the world, who have received Christ as our personal Savior, and now we have been reconciled through the blood and the death of Jesus Christ back unto God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you that God is pursuing you. And even in our right mind, we were not pursuing God. It was God always, from the very beginning of time, pursuing mankind. And people need to know this, right? Since we have this ministry, we have to start out by telling people that God is reaching out to you. The Bible says that he stands at the door and knock. And the only thing that person has to do is what? Open the door. And when he opens the door, he says he do what? He said, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. That means I'm waiting for you to open the door because I've been standing right here waiting for you. Waiting for you to get in your mind that I have already fixed it so that you can be saved. Amen. God is pursuing you. So when you go to talk to someone and they want to throw up all this other rhetoric and all of that, one of the things that you can tell them is that there is nothing that you can do. God is pursuing you. And the only thing you have to do, and I told Wednesday, nice Bible study this, is that the only thing you have to do is say, God, I give up. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of this life. How many of you have counseled a friend that wants to change but don't know how to change? And one of the things that they say is that I'm tired. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of living this type of lifestyle. I'm tired of doing drugs. I'm tired of smoking. I'm tired of drinking. I'm tired. Well, all they need to know and the starting point is what? God is pursuing you. If you're tired, stop. Because God is right there waiting for you. Waiting for you to do what? Say, I give up. It's just that plain and simple. I found myself in 1991 in drug treatment center, and at 10 o'clock at night, that's what I said. I said, God, if you would take all of this away from me, Lord, if you just take it away from me, I'll serve you for the rest of my days. And ever since that time, I've been trying to give it all over to Christ. Don't get it wrong, people. We're not going to give it all like that. Maybe somebody will. I hope somebody do. But me, I'm hard hit. Okay? And since I'm hard hit, God has to take time and knock some sense into me. But ever since that day, he's been holding me up. He's been the security that I needed. When I fell, he picked me back up and said, come on, let's go some more. Why? Because I saved you. In November 9th, 1991, you were saved. And now he's the one that is guiding and directing my path. Now, the word reconciliation means to restore harmony or fellowship between two entities formerly divided. To restore harmony to people or things that have been divided. In the biblical tradition, reconciliation denotes the fundamental fact of a restored relationship. A restored relationship. How many of you guys know about a restored relationship? Not only between you and God, but between you and somebody else. I hadn't seen my friend in many years. He was going one way and I was going another way. We would talk every now and then in between us finally coming together again. His name is Michael Sims. And when for a long period of time, I was headed toward God and he was headed toward the other direction. Then all of a sudden, God brought us together. God allowed me to be able to witness to him. God had to put him on his back in order for him to be able to see who God is. And now God is restoring him. He's restored our relationship because now I have my brother back. Amen. But the thing about it is, now what he's doing is restoring slowly because Michael is hard-headed, just like me. He's restoring their relationship back moment by moment by moment. And I know he's doing that because one day in our prayer meeting at work, you know, Michael said, I want to pray. Everybody's like, wow. Well, we better hurry up and let you pray then. You know, and he prayed a prayer that was just mighty, asking God to straighten out his life. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. He prayed for us, but he also prayed for himself. So I know that God is there restoring that relationship between him and Michael. Okay? So you see what I put on over there? I thank God for answered prayer. See? Because what God is going to do is God is going to restore broken fellowships or broken relationships. And I'm testifying to that because we had our granddaughters last night. You see what I'm saying? Prayer is working, you know. Our daughter is starting to talk with a little bit of sense now. A little bit. Prayer is working. And so God is in the business of restoration. And when we talk to people, when they come to us with the downness of heart and they're tired, then God is pursuing you. He's in the business of restoring you. And he's seeking after you. It says, reconciliation denotes the fundamental fact of a restored relationship, either between human beings, between human beings and God. Turn to verse 14. Verse 14 says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. Okay? You follow along, Rick? You ready for this? All right. Then all died. Repeat after me. For the love of Christ compels us. Turn your Bibles to Romans 5 and 8. And if you don't have this as a memory verse, then this is something that is really going to help you in your Christian walk. It's going to help you when you falter. It's going to help you in every facet of your Christian walk. And Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? So what is it that compelled us? The love of Christ. It's not that we loved him, but it's that he first loved us. You know, he accepted us as we are. He still accepts us as we are. Sinners saved by grace, or saints with the capacity to sin. You hear that? Saints with the capacity to sin. He demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, that he died for us. He died for us. And what should we do? Turn to Romans 6 and 6. And in Christ dying for us, hear this. Knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So in other words, sin shouldn't have a dominion over us. Why? Because Christ died for us. And because since Christ died for us, that means when he died, guess what? I died too. Uh-huh. When he died, I died. That what? That this body of sin might be done away with. Now, like I said, it's not saying that you're never going to sin again. That's not Bible. But that the habit of sin or the practice of sin might be done away with. You see what I'm saying? That the practice of sin might be done away with. That means that I don't wake up in the morning like I used to, and I'm trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to do this, do that, do this, just because of my habit. Come on now. See, the practice of sin makes me get up and look for sin. But because I'm in Christ, we get to that in a minute. Because I'm in Christ, then guess what? The body of this sin is done away with. Okay? I don't have to do that anymore. Because my sins has been taken up and paid for on the cross. Okay? That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Meaning sin has no more dominion, no more rule over me. That chocolate cake, I have something now where I don't have to stare at that chocolate cake and just want it so deeply because I can't have it anyway. But that little voice in me say, just eat a little piece. Now, am I clean? Do I still eat a piece? Sure. I eat a little piece. Nope, I can't say that. Forgive me, Lord. Sorry. You see? It's not complete. It's not completely done away with, but I don't have to do it. It's not something that just makes me do it. I have good days and I have bad days. Anybody with me? Amen. Just like everybody else. You know, but there's a whole lot, amen, that I used to do that I don't do no more. You hear what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm no longer a slave to sin. Help me today, God. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all. Hear this now. He didn't do it for no reason, okay? He didn't do it just to save you. And he died for all that those who live should live no longer, what? For themselves. But for him who died for them and rose again. Uh-oh. Here we are. We as Christians, believers of Jesus Christ, blood-washed saints, no longer live to ourselves. It's just that simple. We live to serve the one who died for us. Not only the one who died, but the one who rose again for us. You see? I keep saying it. What is it in here that we have done? We haven't done a whole lot so far, have we? It's been Christ that died for us. It's Christ that laid in the grave. It's Christ that was raised 3 days later. It's Christ that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's Christ that's making intercession for us. It's not us. And so therefore, since he's doing all the work, we don't live this life for ourselves. But we live this life for him who has accomplished our eternal salvation. Do you hear that? It's complete. It's accomplished. How? In Christ. Our eternal salvation. Romans 6:11. Last scripture today, Rick. Get them fingers going. Thank you, Lord. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead to sin, alive to God. Okay. When we're dead to something, that something has no more meaning or has no more true ability to affect our lives, does it? Huh? Okay, so if we're alive in Christ, that the sin that we commit, then is it affecting our salvation? Yeah, that's a trick question, see? No! You are alive in Christ. The sin that we commit affects our fellowship. It affects our relationship. Let me back that up. It do not affect our relationship, but it affects our fellowship. When you told your child not to go do that, but your child went and done that, then what? And you didn't find out till later, you're looking around saying, who did that? Right? And your child is like, before they would run to mama or daddy, here I am, mama, hey, what's going on? How you things doing? But now you're looking for them, and it's something totally different, right? Man, okay. Isn't that what we do to God? Huh? God is still standing there. God is still waiting for us to say, okay, I did it. So guess what? Until we say, okay, I did it, what are we doing? We call ourselves hiding from God, don't we? We're hiding. We think we're hiding from him. Why? Because we feel bad because of what we did. So our fellowship is broken at the moment, but as soon as restoration, reconciliation comes into play, guess what? The child runs up, hi, Papa, how you doing? And you hug and you kiss them and do all that good stuff. Again, why? Because it has been restored. Still my child, still my grandchild, but guess what? Now the fellowship has been restored. Amen. Now the fellowship has been restored. Why? Because what Christ has done, he has eternally, help me God, he has eternally secured our salvation. And once saved, always saved. I don't care who says what is in the book, read it for yourself. You're always saved. You break fellowship, but you can never break son and daughtership. That's your child. I don't care how crummy they are. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how many times they go to jail. I don't care what they do. I don't care who they dating. I don't care what. That's still your child. God says, you're still my child. I sent my son to die for you. I sent elder brother to rescue you, to bring you back into a right relationship. Galatians 2:20. Also a memory verse. Put it in there, mark it up. That's a good one. That's a good one. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And now the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me, and he did what? He gave himself for me. You see? Our old man was crucified with Christ. So, we see that we should now no longer live for ourselves. Okay? We see that we have been, or I have been, making it personal, crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. See, the whole Christian walk is about Christ. Nothing to do with you. Because if Christ don't walk in me, guess what? I'm not saved. If I have not been crucified with him when he went to the grave, he took my sin to the grave. If that's not real, then I'm not saved. But because the Bible says, now the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in who? In the Son of God, in Christ. So I don't pick somebody out here to idolize or anything like that, because they have no eternal salvation for me. But in Christ, I have everything that God desires for me to have. In Christ, I am saved. In Christ, I am crucified. In Christ, I live, move, and have my being. In Christ, period. Without Christ, I'm nothing. Nothing. I'm worse than a filthy rag without Christ. Second Corinthians 5:17. Now I know y'all know this one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, the key is in Christ. The key is in Christ. You see? And see, when we're talking to people, what we can tell them is that it's not about me. You know, I fall just as much as you do. I think wrong just as much as you do. You know, I say some things sometimes, probably more than you do, that's wrong. You know, I don't intentionally do these things. Sometimes I do. But you know what? I'm in Christ. And I'm striving every day to become more and more like him. And so if I'm in Christ, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, he is a new creation. A new creation. It goes back to Jeremiah 18, I believe. I forgot what it is, 18. But it talks about how he told him to go down to the potter's house. And he went down to the potter's house, and the potter was shaping something on his wheel. Well, in other words, the potter didn't like what was being shaped because it was marred and disfigured and all of that. And so what did the potter do? The potter, he took what they do is they take that clay and they water it back down. And anybody in here ever done pottery? They water it back down and they reshape it into a ball. And then guess what they do? They start fixing and creating something again. Don't you know that's what Jesus Christ has done for each and everyone that is in Christ? That we were marred, that we were not fit to be put up on the top shelf or out front. But when he restructured us, when he took us down and reshaped us and molded us into a vessel that is of honor, he made a new creation. The Bible says here, using the word behold. The word behold means that God has done something for you that he has never done before. So when he says, behold, all things have become new. He says, I've done something that nobody could have done but me. Only I could have created you, this person that you are right now. Behold, all things have become new. Your whole entire life has become new. How many of y'all can say that? Your whole thought process has become new. How many of y'all can say that? Your whole being, the way you walk, the way you talk, has become new. Why? Because behold, there was a new creation created in you. Created in you. Why? because now you're in Christ. The key to all of our witnessing, the key to all of our trying to restore and reconcile is in Christ. It's all in Christ. Romans 8 and 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8 and 8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why is that? Because the new creation has not taken place. You see? So if you're walking around and you don't know why, you just can't get things straight. You keep trying to, you know what? There's a saying that says, you know, you keep trying. Let me get this right now. There's a saying that says you can't keep doing the same thing looking for different results. Okay? You can't keep doing what you're doing looking for different results. An alcoholic can't keep drinking talking about I'm going to stop. A drug addict can't keep using drugs. So somewhere down the line, you have to stop. A cheater has to stop. Whoever you are has to stop and recognize that you need help. And the only source of help that we have on this side of glory is the power of the Holy Spirit that is bringing people to Jesus Christ, yielded souls that are ready and willing to turn their life over to Christ. That's the help we have. So if we're in the flesh, if we're still doing the same thing that we was doing before we said we were saved, then guess what? You're probably not saved. If you're still practicing the same things that you're practicing, hear that now, I said practicing. I'm not saying that a habit won't pop up. Hear this now, for real, what it says. That you're trying to get away from something. Then all of a sudden that thing pop back up in your life. Like that chocolate, German chocolate cake. So during Thanksgiving, when we come together, y'all know I got a problem with German chocolate cake, okay? I want y'all to know that. So don't say nothing right away if I sneak over there and get me a piece. All right? I'm glad y'all smiling. But things pop back up in our life. And that's why Jesus Christ, that new creation, it takes over. It starts to take over. And that one thing, how many of y'all happy that you don't do some of the things you used to do? You happy about that? How long did it take you to stop? You see? Even though you were saved, it still popped up, did it not? Maybe that just happened to me. I don't know. But it still popped up. But God is saying in Romans 8 and 8 that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So while we're in the flesh, we have to understand that we're in the flesh and we're outside of the will of God. And we're bringing ourselves back into the will of God. David wasn't a great king because he was just a great... David wasn't a man after God's heart just because he was David. It wasn't that. He was a man after God's heart because David was able to understand that when he sinned, he needed to go straight to God. David was a man of repentance, of confessing and repentance, even though it took Nathan to come to him when he sinned with Bathsheba, even though it took Nathan to do all of that. Did David recognize? But when he recognized that he had sinned, he came to the Lord. Romans 8 and 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, hear this, he is none of his. The spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now turn to Romans 5 and 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, We shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by his life. Romans 8 and 34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Okay? So who are you? Who am I to condemn? That shouldn't be in our language, in our vocabulary. Condemnation, to condemn somebody. Because if it had not been for Christ, then I would still be under the sentence of death. I'd still be under the wrath of God. Not under the wrath of Lisa or somebody else, but under the wrath of God. Okay? It is Christ who died. He died for us all. Okay? Verse 19 says, that is that God was in Christ. Listen to how he's pursuing us. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Hear this, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. Verse 20, and then 21. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21 is one of the best scriptures I've ever read. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Wow. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, so when God looks at you now, you have surrendered your life. You have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live for yourself, but you live for the one who died for you. God sees his righteousness in you. You're right with God because of Jesus Christ, because of your position in Christ. You are right with God right this moment. The ministry of reconciliation originates with God, not man. It's personally experienced, is universally inclusive, is without condemnation, is delivered by men, is owned and accredited by God, is voluntarily accepted, achieves what otherwise is impossible, is experienced moment by moment. I have this last reading for you guys, and I'm going to let you go. I guess I started feeling better, huh? Think about this. When I say I am a Christian, a woman's heart should be so hidden in Christ, think about it, that a man should have to seek him, that a man should have to seek him first, meaning Christ, to find her. Did you catch that? That a woman should be such of a Christian that a man has to know that they have to go through Christ first in order to get to her. That's good stuff. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not shouting I'm clean living. I'm whispering I was lost. Now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I am a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and need his strength to carry on. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and need God to clean my mess. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. When I say I am a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, so I call upon his name. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's good grace somehow. When I say that I'm a Christian, we have this ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come this morning to say thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for the strength to be able, Father, to stand and to preach your word. Now, God, let this word go forth through the hearts and minds of your people, that, God, they may have courage and boldness to continue to witness and share your word, to share that Lord, it's all about you. You have completed the task of salvation. And all we have to do is turn loose of ourselves and surrender to you. We thank you, Father, for this church. We thank you for the prayers that you are answering right now behind the scenes. We thank you, Father, for the people that are yet to come, oh God, to this church. We thank you for mouths that have been opened, proclaiming your word. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.